Many years have passed since the last major update to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Now the Pentagon is pushing Congress for a long list of changes, including no more jury sentences. Civilian lawyers through the American Bar Association praise some of those changes but express doubt about some of the others. For more, we turn to John Altenberg, former Army Deputy Judge Advocate General, now with the law firm Greenberg Traurig. Mr. Altenberg, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom.
I should say General Altenberg. Tell me, what are some of the major changes, first of all, that are being proposed by the Pentagon?
I'd say that the major changes are making it more like the federal system, more like the civilian system. You mentioned the sentencing by judge alone, but some of the more significant changes really are the streamlining of post-trial processes and the potential for collecting data and making courts-martial information more accessible to the public. And for example, reforming the statute of limitations so that the statute of limitations that affect the military are mostly the same as those that affect the federal system.
Well, are these changes needed, and would they enhance military justice, or what do you think about them?
Well, I think many of them would. I've told a couple of people that if the choice were to pass the entire package as it is, or not to pass it, I would pass it. I would recommend approval of it. Some issues are more controversial than others, let me put it that way. Defense Bar is very concerned about automatic or mandatory judge-alone sentencing, because that essentially is removing a right and a protection that service members have now and have always had, their right to a trial by jury. We don't call it trial by jury, we call it trial by members in the military. But in any event, it's somebody other than a judge deciding on what the sentence is.
And when juries are appointed in military courts, it's not the same process that happens in civilian courts, right? The commanding general of the base where the trial is taking place appoints who is on the jury?
That's correct.
Who do they tend to reach out to?
The statute requires that everybody sitting in judgment on a panel is senior in grade to the accused. And so if someone is a lieutenant colonel being prosecuted, then everybody on the panel has to be a colonel or higher, or at least a lieutenant colonel that is senior to the lieutenant colonel who's being tried in the case.
And do the attorneys, the judge advocate general attorneys, have the right to reject candidates as they do in regular courts?
Oh, yeah. It has surprised some members of Congress who seem interested in military justice to be informed that not only is there extensive voir dire of the panel and of individual members in the course of a court-martial, but that there are unlimited challenges for cause by the defense or the prosecution, and that there is a mandatory at least one peremptory challenge, and oftentimes the trial judges grant extra peremptory challenges depending on the nature of the case.
Because I imagine if you are a superior officer to the person being accused and you might have had a role, either negative or positive, say, in one of their performance reviews for promotion, then you might not be objective.
Actually, that's highly unlikely, because never are the people appointed to a court in the chain of command of the individual being prosecuted.
And also, you mentioned that the idea of less discretion in sentencing, that is to say that the Pentagon is pushing for sentencing guidelines, which seems to be the opposite of the way justice is moving outside of the military.
First of all, that's true. And secondly, to move this quickly and I think dramatically to some type of sentencing parameters or guidelines, I think or many think that's too much too soon. That there ought to be more study of it. I mean, the federal government didn't move to sentencing guidelines until there had been much study and even a couple of trials in some of the districts in the 80s, and it took several years to shape and to form what became the federal sentencing guidelines. And as you alluded to, there was, you know, serious manifest criticism by judges mainly of the federal sentencing guidelines, which they felt restricted them and confined them too much and didn't allow for discretion in certain types of cases and in tough cases. You know, the cases are complex, and to try to set up a cookie cutter paradigm for who should get what sentence, you know, it doesn't allow for consideration of the individual, of the person, of their background, of their education, of how they were raised, of how they live, and then again the facts and circumstances of the individual crime. And when the easy example is three outs, three strikes, and then there's some kind of mandatory heavy sentence, doesn't allow for the for each of those offenses that led to three strikes, you know, and whether they, each of them was as serious in reality as they would appear on paper.
We're speaking with retired Major General John Altenburg, former Deputy Army JAG, now with the law firm Greenberg Traurig. So really then, the push for sentencing guidelines and the removal of juries, rather, for sentencing are really of the same piece here.
I think so. I think that it's a good initiative. I think that it should be looked at carefully. This legislative packet also provides for types of reviews every 4 years of the UCMJ. Instead of waiting for someone to sound an alarm that we need to change it, there'll be an automatic review every 4 years, and an even more thorough review of the entire UCMJ every 8 years. And so I think that, given assuming that part of the legislation passes, it tees up an obvious opportunity to study what would be the effect of mandatory judge-alone sentencing. What are the unknown consequences? What are those things that we don't know will happen when we sentence by judge alone that perhaps we haven't considered? And then start to lay down some guidelines for what you should be considered by the sentencing authority, be it a judge alone or members.
And what about the ending of automatic appeal rights? The ABA has taken no position. What's your feeling about that?
I like the idea of having the automatic appeal. The military society, the military mission, is so different. And now we're an all-volunteer force, and of course that cuts two ways as to whether they ought to know what they're getting when they sign up. But I just think the automatic appeal protects the men and women, the sons and daughters of our citizens, and I don't think it's that inefficient. I don't think it takes that much more time. I think it's worth the resources to keep the automatic appeal to protect the military personnel.
Now, some of the published reports have said that many of the Pentagon's desired changes have been driven by the sexual assault scandal. Do you think perhaps there's an overreaction to that, and it's driving some of these changes perhaps more than it really ought to?
Actually, I don't. I think that the emphasis on sexual assault is not misplaced on the one hand. On the other hand, I think that we have passed some unfortunate laws in the last 5 to 10 years in response to sexual assault. We didn't consider the permutations of those changes. It's confused practitioners from judges and convening authorities all the way down to the defense counsel and the trial counsel. It's made it much more difficult, and there have been clearly unintended consequences. And that's why I favor so much this particular package that DOD put forward, because it's comprehensive and it's thorough. And except for the possibility that maybe a couple of things ought to be studied, I think it's a very effective package and overdue in terms of enhancing the efficiency of the system. So I don't think it's an overreaction to sexual assault. I think it really is well designed for the system itself and doesn't err on the side of overemphasizing sexual assault.
Retired Major General John Altenburg is former Deputy Army JAG. He's now with the law firm Greenberg Traurig. Thanks so much for joining me.
Sure, Tom.
You can read more and share this interview. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.